Extra time.
Destiny. Life is about millimeters, about timing.
The event that all Arsenal fans have been looking forward to. The arrival of their new manager.
Honestly, when I think about it, they were brave.
How much are the players looking forward to Arsene Wenger arriving?
Who? Arsene Wenger's been in Japan. He's unaware of the demands of our game.
I was not scared of anybody in football.
Would you believe it?
It was the start of it, the real start of it.
Welcome to a very special episode of the Football Daily Podcast. Today, I am joined by Christian Jean-Pierre, director of the brand new film about Arsene Wenger called Invincible, which is out in cinemas on the 11th of November and on Blu-ray, DVD and for digital download on the 22nd. Of November. I, for one, have had the privilege of watching it already, and I must say, Christian, I thought it was absolutely superb. Gives a really amazing overview over Arsene Wenger's career, particularly in England, that we'll get onto. I learned a lot of new things about, you know, the man, the legend that is Arsene Wenger. First of all, Christian, thanks for taking time out of your day to talk to us. First of all, congratulations. Like I said, fantastic film. I urge everyone who can to go and see it when it comes out. But let's get straight into the kind of themes of the film and what the film's about. Because it kind of starts with kind of Wenger in his hometown. Obviously touches on his begins his time at Arsenal, but then it switches kind of back to his early success at Monaco in the late 80s and early 90s. Obviously, he won the title with them in 1988, didn't he? You were starting your career in journalism around that time. So I was just wondering, what was there a sense at that time that Arsene Wenger was a special manager?
It's a good question, Michael. Arsene was different from another coaches. He won a French championship at 38 years old, against a big armada with Olympique Marseille of Bernard Tapie. And I remember very well my first interview with Arsene, and I said, wow, this man is strong and he speaks too well.
Yeah, fair enough. He always had a way with words. So you've obviously known Arsene for a long time. And the film follows him in his kind of hometown, like I was saying, where he grew up, and also where he lived in London, in Totteridge, which is a kind of suburb in North London. When you were kind of filming him in these places, did you notice a different side to him than what you kind of knew of him as a football manager?
No, there are neither difference between Arsene, the Englishman in London, or Arsene, the coach in Strasbourg. And I like his quality, because Arsene is able to speak about football with Emmanuel Macron 10 days ago at Elysee Palace, or with a little coach in Strasbourg for division in Alsace. The respect during the conversation is the same with Emmanuel Macron or the old coach of the four division in France. It's the same respect.
Yeah, I love that. You definitely get a sense of that in the film with him talking to the kids at the kind of training ground that I think he built, or at least it was named after him in his hometown. So let's move on to when he was at Arsenal, which is what the film is mainly based around. Obviously, it's called Invincible. It's, you know, it builds up to that Invincible season that everyone remembers, or at least everyone who was born before the year 2000. And what I didn't realise was that Arsene Wenger actually quite publicly as well challenged his side to go unbeaten in 2002-03, and then they didn't manage it, but then they obviously managed it the second year. Could you imagine a current manager making such a bold move? Because I don't even remember Arsene Wenger being that bold in terms of what he publicly challenged his players to do. Could you imagine any current managers doing the same thing?
The period is different. You are a young journalist. Why not? I hate the coaches who block the player in press conference. I hate this. It's better to ask to this player the impossible target. And you think, you say, sometime in life, you have a big surprise. You know, in Paris, we had a national coach, Raymond Domenech, who made wedding proposal on the TV. It was crazy. And the football sometimes has a lot of imagination.
That's funny. I didn't realize that. So in short, then, there isn't really a manager out there who perhaps would do that right now. But you're right. I think football has changed a lot since the early 2000s. And I think we definitely see that, don't we, in the film, in terms of the Arsenal-Man United rivalry, the Wenger-Ferguson rivalry. Even Wenger himself says in it how, you know, how he kind of preferred that time because, you know, when you got tackled back then, you really did get tackled. It was a lot more, you know, players really went to war back then a lot more, I think. And that's definitely a side of Wenger that I kind of forgot about, actually, the kind of the fiery side. It's very, you know, having seen years, you know, he's very much an elder statesman of the game now, and he's very softly spoken. So it was very refreshing to kind of see him back in that kind of war, kind of that kind of, yeah, like army general almost. Although he never was quite like that. But you know, subtly, I feel like he encouraged that in his players, especially in the big games against Man United. Speaking of which, we, you know, in the film, you managed to get an all-star cast of interviewees, especially from that Invincibles era. Who did you have the most fun with interviewing?
Without a doubt,
yeah.
Patrick Vieira, the yeah. old captain. Yeah, I love so much the personality of Pat, the mind of Pat. I like a phrase by Pat on the documentary. Arsène is a father on your project. You're going to say I'm a romantic journalist, but sometime I dream that Arsène return as a chairman to Arsenal, and his coach is the old captain Patrick Vieira. That will be for me a beautiful story, because it's a story about the transmission between the big coach, famous coach Arsène, and the old captain.
Yeah, I mean, that would be amazing to see, wouldn't it? And I mean, who knows, maybe not too far in the future, Patrick Vieira's made a good start to life at Crystal Palace, hasn't he? I think he's got, you know, earned a lot of plaudits actually in England as a result of that. And actually, what I find interesting is that Patrick Vieira, when he first came to Crystal Palace in the summer, obviously he's got a lot more to prove. It's only been a few months. Yeah. But people were quite sceptical about him because they weren't quite sure of, you know, his time at Nice was, you know, a bit mixed, wasn't it? So people weren't quite sure of him. And it's interesting in the film just how, you know, Arsene Wenger, the first foreign manager to win a Premier League title, the kind of scepticism around him then, and also, you know, the, you know, what was, you know, what could probably just be described as a slight kind of xenophobia from certain sections of the English media as well when he arrived. I just wanted to quickly ask you, what was the view in France of what Arsene Wenger was doing at Arsenal at the time? Do you remember, like, was there much publicity for it?
Arsene in France, it's a monument.
Yeah.
We don't need a statue at the Emirates. For the French public, Arsène, it's a monument. But it's a monument of international football. I spoke 2 weeks ago with Kylian Mbappé, and Kylian said to me the same thing. Arsène is a monument. It's visionary. And the impact of Arsène in France is very, very, very strong. Very strong. He's a philosopher about football.
Yeah, I love that. And I think one of the kind of most powerful things about the film is how his transformation of Arsenal kind of tied in with, you know, tied in with England, and in particular London becoming a more international city and becoming more accepting of new cultures. And, you know, Arsene Wenger's Arsenal team were, you know, a very multicultural team. And he spoke about that a lot, about kind of monoculture and multicultural And I think that's, I don't know, very, yeah, very, very powerful in terms of, you know, him bringing over a new philosophy. But then also, I think he, can't remember what he said, I've got it here, yeah, that he shouldn't take the English mentality out of an English team. So it's, I don't know, there's kind of interesting themes about multiculturalism and integration and things. And yeah, it's interesting, you know, what you say, you know, this is a manager who spent almost his entire career in England, and yet in France, he's still seen as a philosopher and a visionary. So that's really interesting to hear. One man who was interviewed, who wasn't connected with Arsene Wenger closely, but obviously was, you know, his enemy for a long time, Sir Alex Ferguson. He's the only non-Arsenal man to be interviewed in the documentary. I was wondering, how important was it to you and Gabriel Clark, who also directed it, how important was it to you to interview him?
What's the name in English? Two dinosaurs?
Yeah,
dinosaur?
Yeah. That's what they describe themselves as, isn't it?
Seriously, Michael, congratulations for Noah Film and my friend Gabriel Clark, because without Sir Alex Ferguson, the film for me is not the same. And the interview of Alex is very, very important. It's an excellent interview. And I like so much Arsenal, but I respect so much this Sir Alex Ferguson band, Gary Neville, Paul Scholes, Roy Keane, big team. I was in Old Trafford during this period, and for me, it's an incredible team, and I like so much Sir Alex Ferguson. And for me, the interview of Sir Alex in this Invincible is very, very, very important.
Yeah, I think it. I agree. I think it needs his kind of adversary to be there to really, to fully describe just what it was like, you know, in that period between 1998 and 2004 in particular, when United and Arsenal were just going at each other. And as we were discussing before, how kind of Arsenal were warriors at that time with, you know, with Arsene Wenger and with Patrick Vieira leading them on the pitch. Obviously, his clashes with Roy Keane were, you know, are the stuff of legend. But obviously, it's great to see, you know, Ferguson, you know, sing the praises of Wenger as well, because, you know, they obviously have such great respect for each other. On the subject of interviews, though, I think, yeah, I absolutely agree. I think Ferguson is so central to the documentary in terms of covering that period. He's such a great interviewee, as is Patrick Vieira, I agree as well. Was there anyone that you'd have really loved to have interviewed for the film who you weren't able to?
I spoke sometime by WhatsApp with Jens Lehmann, the goalkeeper.
Okay.
I love so much this guy. With lockdown, it's too hard for me to go to see him in Munich. But it's a pity for me. Because it's something always happen with Jens Lehmann, on the pitch or off the pitch. It's an incredible guy. I taken a lunch 1 year ago with Arsène and Jens in London, and it's a funny story. I like this guy. It's a original goalkeeper, very original goalkeeper, and the name of the film is Invincible. And Jens Lehmann is invincible. He is a goalkeeper, invincible. But I'm sorry, but with the lockdown, it's impossible to go to Munich.
Yeah, fair enough. It's funny you say that about Jens Lehmann, because I was reading recently, I think he still holds the record for the most red cards for a goalkeeper in Germany. He was quite a character in his playing days. Were there any, I mean, yeah, you mentioned lockdown. I mean, were there any other big challenges that you faced or things that you couldn't do because of filming in lockdown?
It's incredible story, because when I have this idea about this film is before Brexit and before COVID. And I tried to make a co-production, Franco-Britannic production with Brexit and COVID. Oh, it's a hard job. And we share the job with Gabriel Clark. Gabriel make interview in London with Martin Kiwan, Sir Alex Ferguson, Ian Wright, of course. And in Paris, I make interview with Emmanuel Petit, Patrick Vieira, Arsène Wenger, of course, and Robert Pires.
We don't have too much time left, Christian, so I just wanted to ask the final two questions that I'm... The first one in particular, I'm really, really interested to hear your answer. So I think one of the most striking things about the film is that Wenger he's very honest throughout, which I think is great, and it's testament to the film and to the man. But what was really striking was that he really does express some regret in not leaving Arsenal sooner and taking up another job, another top job, because he obviously had. Yeah, he could have managed anyone, couldn't he, at his peak? He had offers coming in from everyone, from Real Madrid to the Milan club, Juventus. Which club, if you could see Arsene Wenger at any other top club, in the latter stages of a career, which one would you have liked to have seen him go to?
No, Michael, no. the only club is Arsenal. Okay. Yeah. England national team or French national team, yes. Top class. Imagine the Stade de France, the French national team. Sometime I imagine a lineup in Stade de France with the Marseillaise and Arsène on the bench. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been quite a sight to behold. But you're not budging. You're at Arsenal through and through for Wenger. You're too romantic. Fair enough. Okay, so final question. A little bit of a, it ends on quite a somber note, that the film, he talks about, when he eventually left the club, how it felt a little bit like a funeral. And it was interesting that you included some clips from Arsenal Fan TV, actually, in those latter stages. A kind of two-part question. First of all, how important was it for you guys to cover what I think was quite a toxic atmosphere that built up in his final years, especially among some sections of the fan base? And do you think that social media has affected the way that managers have to deal with pressure now?
Michael, it's a new world, and the old world no come back. And for me, it's a public job. The problem is not the social media. The problem for me is following often in England, in France, in Europe, in the world, in football. The president of club of football no understand nothing about football. And the president listened the wind. Listened the wind. And when the president of football listened the wind, often the club go down. For me, the problem is not a social media. Is the mind of the big boss on the TV, on the channel, on the club. You need to have a very good chairman.
Fair enough. So what you're saying is kind of sometimes the owners of clubs or whoever can be too easily swayed by the kind of public opinion and things like this.
Yeah, and when you are a big boss of the club, you need to have a very good good mind, good brain. And you say courage?
Oh, courage, yeah.
Courage.
Yeah.
If you don't have courage, it's impossible to have a very good manager. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Because the situation with the social media, with the press, with you, with the journalist, with me, it's a hard job, and you need to be together on the club. And the president, for me, it's very, very important. You need courage and no following the wind. It's impossible.
Yeah.
The social media is alive. It's a new world.
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting you mentioned courage, because I think that's another great theme in the film. The courage of David Dean to go for Arsene Wenger, who was generally unknown outside of the country, and the courage of Arsene Wenger to come in and implement his philosophy and completely change change the culture of Arsenal and very quickly see the amazing results that came out of that. On that note, go and see Arsene Wenger Invincible if you can. Once again, just To remind you, out in cinemas on the 11th of November, and then out on other platforms on the 22nd of November. Thanks so much for speaking to us, Christian.
It's my pleasure, Michael. Sorry for my English.
Oh no, no! Your English was excellent. Thanks so much for thanks so much for making the effort. It's far far better than my French, I can tell you that right now. But yeah, thanks so much again for speaking to us. And enjoy the premiere. I hope Arsène enjoys it as well. Take care. Thanks so much.
I can cross my finger. Thank you, Michael.
This desire of hating to lose makes you sometimes inhuman.
I'm saying myself. Is he looking for more?
I loved it.
I set them a target to win the championship without losing a game.
Simply sensational!
This football is close to perfection.
Va-va-voom.
What do you know of my life concretely?
We don't know anything.
My father, he never told me well done. He said, you can do better.
It would have been easier if he would have made the decision.
You realize that's the end of something. Like a funeral.
Arsene changed my life.
When the manager is defending you, you will die for him.
An entire league campaign without losing.
The achievement stands above everything else.
You want to discover something more. What football can give you. To transform it into art.